Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza is tests. We are on the very bottom of Chesamad Beis. We're five lines from the bottom, starting with the words Tani Rebbe Zera. We dealt yesterday, the second half of yesterday's daf with the Koi. Koi Suffolk Behema Suffolk Chaya. We're not sure which category it belongs in. And so as a result of that Suffolk, we're not sure whether or not it requires Kisu Adam under normal circumstances. So just cover the blood and there's no there's no collateral damage. You may have done a mitzvah. You may not have done a mitzvah. It's fine. Although the Gemara for a moment yesterday entertained, it's not that simple, because we also know that the major difference between a behemah and a chaya is that you're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya, but you're not allowed to eat the chaylev of a behemah. And if you cover the blood, so it really gives the impression that's a chaya, even though it's a suffix. And so if people really walk away thinking it's a chaya, some people may end up eating the chaylev. But the Gemara says, I know that's a concern, but generally speaking, we're not concerned. However, on Yontif, we're really concerned. Meaning, if you shecht a koi on Yontif, so then by covering the blood, so people really will think it's a chaya. Meaning, on Yontif, we know that handling dirt is something which, generally speaking, is prohibited. The dirt's muksa. And so therefore, if the chachamim are allowing us to cover the blood, so people are going to think that really it's a chaya. That was the second explanation that we saw yesterday in terms of why you shouldn't shecht a koi on Yontif. The Gemara went through a first explanation, which we're not going to review right now. Anyway, but the big topic of discussion, yesterday's daf, the second half of yesterday's daf, is the fact that on Yontif you really shouldn't be shechting a koi. If you do so, you shouldn't be covering the blood. Okay, that was our discussion from yesterday. So we start off this morning with a little bit of a takeoff from yesterday's discussion. Tini Rebbe Zera. So five lines from the bottom. So lo koi bevad amru. So when the chachamim said not shechting a koi, so it wasn't just limited to a koi. Ela afilu shecha behem chayva ofen esar v'damen zebezem. Let's say you shechted a whole bunch of animals together on Yontif. You shechted domesticated animals, wild animals, birds, and the bloods got mixed in one with another. And so now you have this big pile of blood, and some of that blood requires kisui, and some of the blood does not require kisui. So asalich sosa b'yomtif, so you're not allowed to cover that blood on Yontif. Now the reason why is because for some of that blood, there is a requirement to cover, and of course we would cover for that part of the blood that's required, but there's some of the blood that's not required. And what you're going to do now is you're going to go through all the trouble of collecting all that dirt in terms of covering all that blood. Some of that activity was unnecessary. So again, under normal circumstances, if it's not Yontif, so fine. So it's not necessary. But on Yontif itself, however, any movement of the dirt that is anal tzarech is a violation of tiltul. It's a violation of muksa. And so therefore, if all those bloods get mixed together, so one is not allowed to carry the not allowed to cover all that blood, for concern, for fear that we're going to end up moving dirt shelo letzarech. So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Yusinai lo shana l'shein yachol lachsos b'tikir achas ava yachol lachsos b'tikir achas muter. So based on all this, so again in this very unusual circumstance where you shechted all these different animals together, a variety of animals, including behemah and chaya, and we said you're not allowed to cover the blood, but if it's not a lot of blood and you can cover it in one shovel full of dirt, so then that's fine. Meaning then you're not making any unnecessary movements, then you're not moving any unnecessary dirt, and under those circumstances it would be okay. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that an obvious point? The Gemara says, no, it's not such an obvious point. So, Ma'ud detema nigzer dekir achas hatushe dekir is kamash malan. Well, you thought that you only needed one shovel full of dirt, you covered it, and then it turns out that it looks like I need more. So one can imagine that the Chachamim said, look, we really didn't want you shechting to begin with. In this particular case, it's more complicated because it's not that you shechted a koi, you shechted a behema and a chai, you just shechted in the same area. But the chachamim may have said, look, if you think that you only need one shovel full of dirt, and meanwhile it turns out you need more than that, so the chachamim maybe goes there the first shovel full based on the fact that you may get a second shovel full, and that's certainly shelo letzarech. And so that's what the Chachamim were worried about. Okay, and admittedly over here, what's the Gzera about? The Gzera is about moving dirt on Yontif, which in of itself is an Issa Muksa. So it's funny that the Gemara, at least in Ahavamina, is entertaining a Gzera because of Muksa. Okay, that definitely requires a little more thought and a little more explanation of how that should be. Amar Rabba. We are on the very last line of Chesamad Beis. So let's say you shecht the bird in Erev Yontif. Okay, so again, you have an allowance to shecht the bird on Yontif itself, but okay, you shechted the bird in Erev Yontif, that's certainly fine, certainly permissible, and you didn't get around to covering the blood on Erev Yontif. Obviously, you should have. In other words, that's your first opportunity to do the mitzvah of Kisrei Dam. You should have taken care of it right away, but you didn't. And now it's Yontif. So again, the halacha is, like we said in the Mishnah, like we discussed in yesterday's daf. So if you shech the chayin off on Yontif, and you have dirt that's already prepared, so for sure do the mitzvah of Kisrei Dam. That's what we've been discussing now for the good part of yesterday's daf, now going into today's daf. However, over here we're talking about a case where you shecht it on Erev Yontif, and you tarried, and you delayed. So now on Yontif itself, can you do the mitzvah of Kisrei Dam? So the Gemara says, B'Shem Rabbah, no, you cannot. Rashi writes over here, in mechasen aso b'yom tov, da'ahayo lo l'chasus mi b'yom, because obviously what you should have done is you should have covered it the day before, meaning on Erev Yontif. O mishum imnu imishum simchas Yontif leka. Now what's going to happen? So what's going to happen? You missed the mitzvah. Are you missing out on simchas Yontif? No, you're not. You have the bird. The bird is edible. In other words, the lack of kisur adam is not going to prevent you from eating the shecht and meat. Meaning you failed on the mitzvah, but you certainly didn't. You're not going to lose out on the mitzvah of Simchas Yontov. Dimishum de la machzei dam lo mitzvah tzipra ba'achila. Just because you failed to do the mitzvah of kisur adam is not going to make the bird prohibited. Okay, so because you tarried, because you delayed, so you just simply missed your opportunity. Gilgal isa merav yontov mafish mimenu chalta b'yomtov, and a similar halacha is as follows. Let's say you made the dough in erev yontov. Again, on Yontif itself, you're allowed to make dough. You're allowed to combine water and flour together, knead the dough, bake the dough, bake it into bread. So those are activities you're allowed to do on Yontif. Again, that goes back to Ochel Nefesh. Now, in order to appreciate this and understand this, so just a little bit of background, Rashi says it on the top of Testament Aleph. I'm just simply going to summarize. Generally speaking, on Yontif, one is not allowed to be Mafish Shumas Amaisos. Being Mafish Shumas Amaisos is tikkun. It's you're correcting. You're taking something that's edible, and you're rendering it edible by being mafresh or masamaisos. So the Chachamim said we don't want that kind of activity on Yontif. So therefore, the Chachamim barred being mafresh or masamaisos. We're going to be seeing this later in Masechta. Rashi says daf lamed vav. Good. So if you have produce that you weren't mafresh or masamaisos, so despite the fact that you're allowed to cook and you're allowed to do a lot of activities which would be malachas on Yontif, but again for ochel nefesh you're allowed to do so. However, the Chachamim said you can't be Mafish Shumas and Maisos. Fine. So you can't be Mafish Shumas and Maisos. And is Chala Hafrasha? You bet it's Hafrasha. Meaning the separation of Chala from a dough is also considered like you're being Mafish Shuma. In fact, the Torah, when describing Hafrasha's Chala, calls it Truma. So one can imagine now that you're not allowed to be Mafish Chala on Yontif, meaning you're kneading a dough, and now you have your first opportunity to be Mafish Chala, so maybe the Chachamim said you can't do that. This is coming up later in the Masechta, but information we need to know right now, and that is for Hafrashas Chala, you're allowed to do that in Yontif for a really simple reason. Meaning, you couldn't have done Hafrashas Chala any earlier. The mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala only begins when the flour and the water get kneaded together, when they get mixed and kneaded together. Then and only then is there a mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala. So just simply the way the system works, there was no opportunity to be Mafresh Chalab prior to Yontif. So your first opportunity is going to be on Yontif itself. So on this, the Chachamim said, look, Ein Breira, we just simply don't have a choice in the matter. We have to be Matir HaFresh Chalab, otherwise the whole system of baking bread on Yontif isn't going to work. So, although being Mafresh Shumas HaMaisos is rabbinically prohibited on Yontif, but being Mafresh Chalab is one allowance that's allowed. Okay, that's all background. Now the Gemara says, what if I made my dough on Erev Yontif, and again, what you should have done is you should have been Mafresh Chala immediately, but you weren't. You tarried, you delayed. So can you do it on Yontif? So that's what we're addressing right now. Rabbah says Gilgal Isa Erev Yontif Mafresh Mimenu Chalta B'Yontif. So and this is in contradistinction to the mitzvah of Kisur Adam. When it comes to the mitzvah of Kisur Adam, so if you failed to do so in Erev Yontif and you delayed and now it's Yontif, okay, lost opportunity. No mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Parenthetically, in other words, if the blood's still there after Yontif, so you can do it after Yontif. But on Yontif itself, you can't do it. But in distinction to that, if you made dough in Erev Yontif and you delayed and you weren't Mafresh Chala in Erev Yontif, you may do so on Yontif itself. Now, what's the explanation? Why is there a distinction? So presumably the distinction is going to be predicated on the fact that I can't eat the bread. It's all Mafresh Chala. Meaning the bread has the status of being Tevel, and until I'm being mafresh challah, so then I won't be able to eat it. So in other words, it's just simply, it's an allowance to eat the bread. That's why the chachamim were matir, being mafresh challah, even though the bread was, or the dough was kneaded prior to yantif. Okay. Avud Shmuel Amar Afil Gugalisa Meir of Yantav Ein Mafish Mimenu Chalta B'Yantav, and the Gemara quotes in the name of Avua Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, that no, if I made the dough prior to Yantav, so you're not allowed to be Mafish Chala on Yantav itself. The only heter that the Chachamim gave in terms of Afresh Chala is only the dough that you make on Yantav itself. But if you made it before Yantav and you had an opportunity to be Mafish Chala before Yantav, that's when you should have done the Afresh. And not on Yantav itself. So, Lema Pligi Dishmol Adavu Dishmol. So the Gemara says, now, it could be that we're going to pit father against son. Meaning, so we just saw the opinion of father, of the Avu Dishmol. It's interesting that throughout Shas, he's just simply described as the father of Shmol. I'm sure he had a name. I'm sure people called him by his name. Why the Gemara describes him as Avu Dishmol. So it's an interesting reference point. But anyway, the Gemara over here is going to point out that we're going to learn together a halacha in the name of Shmuel, and it seems to be that Shmuel is going against his father. Well, let's learn the halacha of Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, Chalas Chutz Aretz, Ochav Aholech V'Achakach Mafresh, that when you have the Chalav Chutz Aretz, there's a mitzvah of Afreshes Chala even outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Kedushin discusses this. We know this, meaning, right, that we make bread, we have to be Mafresh Chala, even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael. One could have easily imagined that it's a mitzvah Tluya Baretz, and so therefore it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but we all know, and the Gemara over here says that the mitzvah of Afreshes Chala and Chutz Aretz is still a mitzvah. But there is a leniency according to the opinion of Shmuel. And that is that you could have said that until you're Mafresh Chala, you're not allowed to eat the dough, you're not allowed to eat the bread. Meaning you made the dough, you baked it into bread, you weren't Mafresh Chala, you can't eat it until you're Mafresh Chala. So Shmuel says a halacha that in Chutz Aretz, here's what you could do. How much you have to be mafish? So nowadays, the smallest amount, because we don't end up giving it to Kohanim. So we just take off a nominal amount. We burn in the oven. Okay. But when there was a Kohen to give it to, so you take off somewhere between 2 to 4%, right? A 24th, a 48th. Okay. Somewhere within the ballpark of 2 to 4%. Regardless, the point is that according to Shmuel, because the mitzvah of Afreshes Chala in Chutz Aretz is a din derabanan, so here's a fallen kula that you can avail yourself to. And that is that, again, lichatchila, for sure you should be mafresh chala, first things first. However, if you didn't for whatever reason, you can go ahead and eat the bread, leaving over the chala to the very end. And whatever you leave over at the end, that's going to be your chala. Probably you're going to need breira in order for this to work. Okay, but it's a din derabanan. We're generally makeup by the rabbanans. Certainly by Braver, we're makeup by the rabbanans. Fine. That you're allowed to do. So, the Gemara now points out that this position of Shmuel goes against his father. Now, how can that, why is that? Because remember, what did Dad say? Dad said that the, going into Yantif, if you were, if you made the dough before Yantif, you're not allowed to be Mafresh Chala on Yantif itself. In other words, you should have done it beforehand, and you didn't do it beforehand, so you're not allowed to be Mafresh it on Yantif itself. And now you take that statement of Avu de Shmuel and compare it to what we just learned together in the name of Shmuel, that on Yantif, no, I'm sorry, having nothing to do with Yantif. Shmuel says that when you have dough and you bake into bread, so you can eat first and leave the challah to the very end. So the Gemara says that these two positions seemingly are incompatible positions. The Gemara says, I don't know. Amarav Amila Moda Shmuel Shim Kara Lashem Sha'asur Lazarim. So Shmuel says, I'm sorry, Rava says, I don't think those two statements are incompatible. I think they're compatible. Meaning, what's the heter of Shmuel? The heter of Shmuel is that you don't have to take off Chala at first. For Chala's Chutz Aretz, you can wait till the end. But when all said and done, you have to be Mafresh Chala. It's just a question of whether you have to do it in the beginning, or you can wait to the end. But when all said and done, you have to be Mafresh Chala. And Rava asked the question rhetorically. According to Shmuel, if you were Mafresh Chala in the beginning, does it not have a Shem Chala? Of course it has a Shem Chala. So that means to say that when you take it off, it's going to have status. So that means to say that it would be a violation of Yantif to do so. Because on Yontif, to give something a status of a shem challah that you're not allowed to do. You are allowed to eat the bread till the end, leaving off challah until the end. But the only heter is that you could just leave it off to the end. But once you get to the end and now it's challah, it has a shem challah. And if I were mafresh in the beginning, it also would have a shem challah. So the statements of Shmuel and Avu de Shmuel are not incompatible to one another. Okay, they could work together. So you don't have to put father against son. So again, now the two halachas that we just learned, right up until the point of the Mishnah. Number one, that if I shechted a bird prior to Yontif, and for whatever reason delayed in the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam, and now it's Yontif, so everyone agrees, you don't do the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam. Aye, there's a mitzvah to do? Yeah, but you didn't do it before Yontif. And now the Chachamim allowed for Kisrei Adam to be done on Yontif, but only for birds and wild animals that were shechted on Yontif itself. That was halacha number one. Halacha number two, which is open for a controversy, a dispute amongst the Amoraim, is what about dough? Dough that's made on Yontif itself, so there's a heter to be mafresh challah. Dough that's made before Yontif, and now you delayed and you were mafresh challah before Yontif, are you allowed to be mafresh challah on Yontif itself? Machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Okay. We're in Testament Aleph. We're starting now with the next Mishnah. So this is now our second Mishnah here in our Masechta. So, generally speaking, the first sugya of every masechta tends to run long. So over here, same. In fact, sukkah, we just finished sukkah. Same story. First mishnah was on daf base. Second mishnah was on daf tes. Okay. So here we are now with the second mishnah, Beishami Omrim. So, the mishnahs over here in the first parak are going to focus mostly on, topics of muksa and food preparation. So our Mishnah, Beishami Omrim, Ein Molichin Es Asulam, Mishava Chushava Chava Mateo Michalon Lachalon, Ubeisila Matirin. So Beishami says that one is not allowed to move a ladder from one Shavach to another Shavach. So the birdhouses, right? I say birdhouses, they're more than birdhouses, meaning they're dovecotes, but the point is that these are the housings that held our birds. Now again, on Yontif, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take a bird, you know, grab it, take it, and shechted on Yontif. So in order to get to the birdhouses, they were perched a little bit higher than within reach. So what you're going to do is you're going to get a ladder in order to get the birds. Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, exactly what you can do with this ladder. Meaning the question on the table right now is that the ladder may be muksa, or as we're going to see in the course of today's daf, it may not be so much an issue of muksa, as it's going to be an issue of marasayin. I will explain that better in just a moment. Beit Shammai, however, takes a more stringent position, which is that you're not allowed to take the ladder from one shovach to another. To pick up the ladder and move it from one birdhouse to another birdhouse, that you're not allowed to do. What you can do is that not moving the ladder, but you could just basically tilt it from one window to another window. But you can't actually physically pick up the ladder up and move it from spot to spot to spot. That's too much of an allowance. And the problem, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is that either the ladder is muksa or it might be an issue of marasayin. One of those two, but Beis Shammai takes a more stringent position. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, Beis Hillel says that it's mutter. Mutter meaning to pick the ladder up and move it from one birdhouse to another in order to get your birds. Now, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, so a little bit of context over here in our Mishnah between the Machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we start off with Rav Chanan bar Ami and Machlokes Bereshos HaRabim. The debate over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is where your birdhouses are facing the public and people now are watching you. So the Beis Shammai Savrei Aro Omer LaTech Gagohut Savrechu Beis Hillel Savrei Shochvo Mochiach Chalav. Now, casual observer watching you with your ladder. So what are they thinking right now? So for Beis Shammai, who says it's prohibited, so now what people are thinking as you're moving the ladder from one place to another, they're thinking, oh, what is he doing? He's fixing his roof on Yontif. You're not allowed to do that. What is he doing? In other words, then what you're doing is you're violating Marasayin. Marasayin is giving people the impression that you're violating an Isra in the Torah. It happens to be you're not violating an Isra in the Torah, but if you are behaving in a manner in which it looks a little bit questionable, it looks a little bit shady what you're doing, so that's a violation of Marasayin. Whenever litigating Marasayin, so generally speaking, we should take a conservative viewpoint, which means that if the Gemara describes as Marasayin, so fine. But then for us to extrapolate to other areas of Marasayin and to label other activities Marasayin, so generally speaking, We should take a more conservative viewpoint. But meanwhile, though, according to Beit Shammai, this is an example of Maris Ayin, when you're with the ladder outside, so people think that you're fixing your rooftop. Now, generally speaking, Maris Ayin and Dan Lekav Schos, they seem to be at two polar ends, meaning, shouldn't you judge people favorably? Meaning, if you see somebody with a ladder on Yontif, so you should say, hey, maybe he's not doing construction. Maybe he's doing something which is mutter. So, yes. The answer to that is yes. You should be judging people favorably. But we're not talking right now from the perspective of the passerby. We're talking about from the perspective of the balabais. Although you should be judging others favorably, but you should be behaving in a manner where others can judge you favorably. So in other words, that's the balance between judging others favorably and on the other hand, behaving in a manner that is beyond reproach. So according to Beit Shammai, it's a violation of, let's call it Maris Ayin. And Beit Hillel, sorry, before we get to the next point, and Beit Hillel will tell you, look, I agree with the general concept of Maris Ayin, right? We saw that in the Mishnah and Shkalim, but in Nikiyim, you have to be clean, both in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the eyes of other people. I agree with Maris Ayin. This is just not a good application of Maris Ayin. In other words, what are you doing right now, even in the public view? You're moving your ladder around from birdhouse to another birdhouse. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that the ladder right now is leaning up against the birdhouse, it's really easy for people to come to the conclusion, it's Yontif, he wants a fresh bird. It's really that simple. So Beit Hillel will just simply counter and say, this is not an area for Maris Ayin, shovcho mochiach alav. It's connected to the birdhouse, people can easily see. Ava birishos yach divra kol mutter. But so in other words, the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only when you're in the public view. But if, let's say, you're private, in other words, you have a fenced-in property, and you're in your backyard, people cannot see, so then it would be mutter according to everybody. Now, if that sounds a little bit strange, good. So, ini v'hamar Rav Yehuda amar Rav kol makom shasu chachamim neimar zayin. Afilu v'chadr chadar maser. The Gemara says, what about the statement of Rav? Rav says that when the rabbis prohibited in Maris Ayin, it's not just in the public, but it's also in private as well. Now, obviously, Maris Ayin is an issue of how people will look at you and judge you. So presumably it only applies in the public, but the Chachamim said that, look, once that's the kind of behavior that it's a Maris Ayin issue, we don't want you engaging in that behavior and neither in the public view or even in the private view as well. So that's Rav's viewpoint. And the Gemara says, so now how can it be? How can it be that Rav Hanan is going to be arguing on Rav's viewpoint? Meaning the way that Rav Hanan is setting up the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So now it has it that Beit Hillel's viewpoint, no. Beit Shammai's viewpoint now is going to be going against the rule of Rav. And as Rashi points out over here, Rav is a gadol b'dor. He is the leader of the generation, right? Look at the Rashi. V'amar Rav Yehuda Rav. Now, Rav is an Amora, so is it really such a strong question? Rashi says it sure is. Right? Rav was the head of the generation, right? The only one who could even take issue with Rav was only Shmuel. But outside of that, if Rav made a statement, that's it. That's the accepted halacha. I know, but Dine Mamanos, by the way, we do pass on like Shmuel, but anyway, but the point is that if Rav said something, unless we know otherwise, that's the halacha. And so the Gemara says, so Rav Hanan now is explaining our Mishnah, where you have a Tana going against Rav. Granted, by the way, it's only Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel, but still, it's strange. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? The question of whether or not Maris Ayin is usur in the public and in the private as well, it's machlokes Tanaim. Gemara quotes the Braisa, Shochan Bechama, Velo Keneged Ha'am, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Osrim. Okay, so the machlokas atanayim, your clothing is soaking wet. You didn't wash it. You didn't wash it on Shabbos. Whatever, you got caught in the rain. For whatever reason, your clothing is soaking wet, right? You by accident fell into a puddle. Whatever the case is, so now you want to dry your clothing. Now, if you dry in the public, so what people are going to think now as you're hanging, you're clipping your clothing to the line. Is that people are going to think, oh, he washed his clothing on Shabbos. Now, you didn't, but again, it's a violation of Maris Ayin. So hanging it in the public, in public view, that's prohibited. What about in the private? So in the Bryce over here, it's a machlokas. So the Tanakhama's viewpoint is that you can hang it in the sun, but not in public view, only in only in the privacy of your home, right? In your backyard, whatever the case is, but not in the public view. So interesting, in this Bryce, the Tanakhama's viewpoint is that despite the fact there's a Maris Ayin issue over here, but that's only in the public, not in the private. And meanwhile, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon said, no, you're not allowed to hang it up, not in the front of your house, not in the back of your house, meaning it's Maris Ayin, and it's going to be usher for both public and for private. So you see over here in the Braisa, it's a machlokas atanayim. So when Rav made the statement, so what really Rav is hinging on is that it's not a universal position. There's a dispute about amongst the Tanayim on this very issue. And Rav is only going like one of the opinions. Okay. So when all said and done, so how can Rav Chanan go say something against Rav? The answer is it's a machlokas Tanayim. Ikadamri. We're going to do the same thing again, but we're just a slightly different version, but it's going to be the same basic points formatted a little bit differently. Amrav Chanan Barami Machlokas Bereshus Yachad Debei Shammai Islay Derav Yehuda Amrav Ubeis Hillel Leislay Derav Yehuda Amrav Sava Bereshus Ram Divrakal Aser. So to move the ladder around in public, everyone says it's Aser. This is in the second version. Everyone says it's Aser, and the only question is, can I do so in the private area? Where Beit Shammai says it's okay because Beit Shammai says it's not okay because he subscribes to Rav Yehuda Merav. I know historically Rav comes later, much later, but still the point is they're of the same school of thought. And meanwhile, the Beit Hillel disagrees, meaning because he does not subscribe to the school of thought of Marsine being usher, whatever is usher in the public is also going to be usher in the private as well. And so therefore Beit Hillel, although he says it's Marsine in the public, to move your ladder around, but in the private, it's okay. So Lema Rav Damer Kebeit Shammai. So the Gemara says, now in the second version, that's really strange. So now you have Rav who is subscribing to the school of thought, Beit Shammai. That's really strange. So the Gemara says, Tanai the Tanya Shokha Mecham Avalo Keneged Am, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. So the Gemara says, I know it's really strange, but it's a Machlokas HaTanayim. So in other words, it's not just Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, it's a Machlokas other Tanayim as well. Whether or not Marsa Ayin, which certainly applies in the public, also applies in the private as well. And so it's not just limited to Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. And yeah, and so now it comes out that Rav Yehuda Merav is not just going like Beit Shammai in the second version, but other Tanayim as well. Okay. So our Mishnah taught us that Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, whether or not you can move your ladder around from birdhouse to birdhouse, Beit Shammai says you can't. Beit Hillel says you can. Beit Shammai has a small allowance, tilting it from one birdhouse to another, but to pick it up and move it around, that you're not allowed to do, according to Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel allows it. Okay, at the end of today's daf, which we're not going to get to, so we're going to point out that there seems to be inconsistencies in terms of the general position of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, what's allowed for Simchas Yontif. Okay, over here, clearly Beit Hillel is a more makel. Okay, and hold that thought, really hold it for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to point out that there seems to be some general inconsistencies of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But meanwhile, right now, that was our Mishnah. And then the first discussion we had in the Gemara is that, is there going to be a difference in moving the ladder in front of your house and when you're in public view, where there it's an issue of Maris Ayin? But what about when you're in the backyard and your birdhouses are in the backyard and you're not in public view? Is there going to be an allowance? So two versions of that discussion. And the question of whether or not Maris Ayin, which certainly applies in the public, also applies in the private as well. And the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yehuda Merav that any time the Chachamim asked Maris Ayin, it's not just true for the public, it's true for the private area as well. Okay. Masisin Deloki Aitana. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, the Gemara now is going to contrast the Mishnah that we just learned together and the Braisa. What Braisa? The upcoming Braisa. And the Gemara is going to know that the Mishnah and the Braisa are not in agreement with one another. Generally speaking, we have a rule that when you have a Braisa, the Braisa obviously derived it. Rabbi Chia was a student of Rebbe. So generally speaking, the derivations of a Braisa are coming from a Mishnah. But not always. In other words, that generally speaking, it's true, but not always. And here's an example where we're going to have a Braisa, and the Braisa over here we're about to quote is not in accordance with our Mishnah. What's the Braisa? So let us start off with the top line. Did Tanya will enter the Braisa? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Modi Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shem Alichem Esasulam Mishavach Lishavach. So here the Braisa starts off that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, there is no dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You're allowed to move, pick up a ladder to go from one birdhouse to another. Lo nechlegu ala lachzir. The only question is that, okay, once I got my birds, can I put my ladder back? That's the only debate. Now, already you see right away that that is not like our Mishnah. Okay. Asha Beis Shammai armi min machzirin, Beis Hillel armi maf machzirin, and Beis Shammai is a machmir, Beis Hillel is a mekel. So in that regard, at least they're similar, where Beis Hillel comes out to be a mekel. But over here, though, according to the Braisa, they both allow you to pick the ladder up and move it to the birdhouse. It's just a question of putting it back into your storage. Am Rav Yehuda b'medvar mamor and b'sum shol shovach. The Braisa continues, where according to Rav Yehuda, that's talking about where it is a ladder specifically for the birdhouse. Ava b'sum shol aliyah, but let's say it's a ladder to get to your roof. So divrei hakol aser, according to everyone, it would be aser, because if it's a roof ladder, so there, you really have to worry about marasayin, meaning you're taking out your roof ladder on yontif. People are going to talk, and you're no longer above reproach. And Reb Dosa Omer Mateo Michalon Lechalon. Rabbi Dosa says that what you could do is you could tilt your ladder from one window to another, but you can't pick it up and move it. In our Mishnah, that was Beit Shammai's viewpoint, but here in the Braisa, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both allow you to pick up the ladder and move it. It's only Rabbi Dosa in the Braisa that says that you can't do that and you can only tilt it from one window to another. Acher ma'omrim mishum Rabbi Dosa af mod dimbo. Now, another version of Rabbi Dosa quoted by Acherim is that what you could do is that you could pick up the ladder and move it, but taking really small steps. And it sounds funny. But in other words, as long as you do so in somewhat unusual fashion, so then you can pick up the ladder and move it. But you can't pick it up and move it in a regular fashion. Okay. So in this Braisa, so the first observation, which the Gemara already made, is that this Braisa that we quoted and our Mishnah on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf are not in agreement with one another. There's no synchronicity between the Mishnah and Braisa. Good. Now, with that stated, so Bnei Rebbi Chiya Nafak L'Kriyasa. So the children of Rebbi Chiya, so they went out of town. They went to visit some out-of-town locations. And Kiyasa Amalu Avon Klom Aisa Bali Adchem. And so now they came back. So they were accomplished Talmidei Chacham, the sons of Rebbi Chiya. And when they go from town to town, so they issue various rulings, some psakim, as they go from one location to another. And so when they came back, so the father wanted to review with them. What was the halacha that was asked to you? What did you answer? Good. So Amru lo sulam bali adin avitarnu. And so they said, well, it happens to be that we went to visit this town and they asked us a question about moving the ladder on Yonta from one birdhouse to another birdhouse. And we said that it's mutter. Ah, okay, good. So Amr Lahem, so Rabbi Chiya, when he heard what his son said, so he told his boys, Se'uv asu mash itartem. So he says, okay, so what you're going to do now is you're going to turn around, you're going to go back to those communities, and you're going to tell those communities that you were wrong, and you're going to tell them that's aser. Okay, so it's fine. You made a mistake. You made a mistake. So you go correct it. You go tell them. I know I make it sound like it's so easy to admit you made a mistake, to go back and tell everybody you made a mistake, and to correct it. I'm aware of the fact that this is not easy. It's easier said than done. Okay, but right now all I have to do is just say it. I don't have to do it. So it's easier said than done. Okay, but go back and tell them. So Inu Savra now. The Gemara now goes over the back and forth because again, they're accomplished Talmidei Chachamim. So it wasn't that they just simply thought, hey, it's okay. In other words, they were basing themselves on Mishnayos and Braisos that they learned. And so what the Gemara now is going to point out is the flaw of their thinking. What did they think that was wrong? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they thought. So Savra Midika Amar of Yehuda Besom Shal Aliyah Lo Pligi. So they thought as follows. They thought that according to Rabbi Yehuda, meaning go back to our Braisa. Now, it's interesting over here in terms of where they're citing, they're sourcing for their halacha. They're turning to the Braisa. On one hand, I get it. On the other hand, I don't get it. On one hand, I get it. They're the children of Rabbi Chiya. Like, who's the Masader HaBraisas? Who organized all the Braisas? Rabbi Chiya, their father. So, in that regard, fine. On the other hand, however, we also have a Mishnah, right? That was the Amud Aleph. So, why they're turning to the Braisa, not to the Mishnah? That part I don't get so much. Regardless, they're holding by the Braisa. They know the Braisa. And this is the way they learned the Braisa. So, by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, Mesum shal aliyah lo pligi, so that when it comes to a regular ladder, let's call it a regular ladder. So there's no debate, Mechlav, the Tanakama, Savar, pligi. And so that must mean that according to the Tanakhama, they are arguing even about a regular ladder. And so the question that was presented to them was a regular ladder. So they looked at the Brice and they said, if Rav Yehuda says that they're arguing about a regular ladder, it must mean that the Tanakhama, the anonymous first position of the Brice, is telling us that they are in fact arguing, they, meaning Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, are in fact arguing about a regular ladder, and Beis Hillel says that it would be okay. That's the way they understood the Brisa. So Velohi. Now the Gemara says, and so this is what Rabbi Chiya is correcting them. And he says to his sons, you just simply misinterpreted the Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda, time into Tanakhama kama farish. So Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the Tanakhama. He's explaining the Tanakhama. So because if you read the Brisa carefully, which Rabbi Chiya now is teaching his sons how to read the Brisa, it says to move the ladder from one shavach to another. If we're talking about a regular ladder, where are you getting the regular ladder from? So you went out to your shed. Meaning if we're talking about the ladder of the birdhouses, it's already there, right? The ladder of the birdhouses are already hanging out by the birdhouses. And if we were talking about a regular ladder, so what the Brisa would be describing is you first went to your shed to go pick up your regular ladder in order to take it to the birdhouses. That's if the Brisa was talking about a sulam shel aliyah. It's not. So alalav hachi kamar. So this is now the correct pshat of the Brisa. Shel shavach in shel aliyah lo. So that the only allowance that Rav Yehuda is now saying, as not arguing with the Tanakhama, but an explanation of the Tanakhama, the only argument is only on Sulam Shel Shavach. But Sulam Shel Aliyah, you're not allowed to use. Everyone agrees to that, both Rav Yehuda and the Tanakhama, and Rav Yehuda is just explaining the Tanakhama. Okay. V'idach. Now again, we go back to the sons, meaning we're defending the sons? No. In other words, Rabbi Chiya is telling them they misunderstood, but at least we're defending what they thought. In other words, again, they're accomplished Talmid Chachamim, so at least we're going to try to give voice to how they could argue. V'idach mikitani sulam shel shavach, mi shavach l'shavach kitani, ve'afilo kama shavchin. So again, their reading of the Brisa would be, it didn't say sulam shel shavach, the sulam of the shavach, it said mi shavach l'shavach, which means to say that there were a lot of birdhouses and it was a regular ladder and they were just simply moving it from one birdhouse to another birdhouse. Okay. That's how they read the Brisa. So again, the back and forth between Rabbi Chiya and his sons about the correct reading of the Brisa. Anyway, Rabbi Chiya is insistent on the fact that if it's a sum shal aliyah, if it's a regular ladder, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to move that on Yontif. It's a Marasain issue. And by the way, it would not only be limited to Yontif, presumably Shabbos as well. It just happens to be that on Yontif, you do have the argument that, hey, I need to get to my birds on Yontif. Okay. But as we just learned, there are different types of ladders. There's a house ladder and a bird ladder. Okay. Ika de Amre. The Gemara gives another version of what happened. Amrele hatuisum shalaliyah bali adinaviyatarnuhu. So in the second version, so again, the sons of Rabbi Chiya were out. They went to out-of-town community. They came back. Rabbi Chiya said, no, what happened? Right? What, any exciting halachic questions? And they said, yeah. Now in the second version, so the question was asked, it was a regular ladder, but they weren't asked whether or not you could move it, and presumably because they would have said no, but it was just a question of tilting it from one birdhouse to another. Okay, that was the question. And their response was mutter. Now, here in the second version, okay, now it's going to come out to be similar to the first version. Amalem suva asru mashki tartem. So he says, okay, no, you're going to go back, you're going to turn around, and you're going to tell them that, look, you made a mistake. It's wrong. So, inu sever mai deka aser tanakama kashari Rebbe Dosa. The back and forth, meaning what did they think and how did dad correct their thinking? So they thought, and again, go back to the Brisa. And now when we talk about tilting the ladder. So if you look at the Brisa, Rebbe Dosa says, mateu mechalon lechalon. That one is allowed to tilt the ladder from one window to another. Now, tilt which ladder from one to another? It's not clear in the Brisa. Was it talking about a shovach ladder? Was it talking about a regular ladder? Really unclear. So their thought process was, it's talking about a regular ladder. And again, in defense of their thinking, meaning you're not allowed to pick up a regular ladder, but maybe what Rabbi Dos is telling you is that, fine, you can't pick it up. But to just simply lean it in another direction, that's okay. That's their understanding of the Braisa. Velohi, but the Gemara says, okay, but that's not a good understanding of the Braisa. My dekashari tanakama ka'asa Rabbi Dosa. No, that which the Tanakama permits, meaning the Tanakama was permitting the picking up of a ladder, of a shovach ladder. And for that, Rabbi Dosa said, no, you can't pick up a shovach ladder. And the only thing that you can do with a shovach ladder is only tilt it from one to another, but you can't pick it up. But Rabbi Dosa was not commenting on the regular ladder. He was commenting on a shovach ladder. He happened to have been just very machmer, even on a shovach ladder. Okay. So that's the better understanding of the Braisa. And it comes out now that the children of Rabbi Dosa misinterpreted the Braisa and arrived at an incorrect ruling. Okay, two different versions. Okay, we're going to stop here because the two dots is going to go well into tomorrow's daf. I already teased it, meaning what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to point out that there seems to be general discrepancies between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel is a mekel. That part's clear. Beis Hillel allows you to take the ladders and move it from one shofach to another. Beis Shammai says you can't. So we see over here for the purpose of Simchas Yontav, so our Mishnah has Beis Hillel being a mekel, Beis Shammai being a machmir, and the Gemara is going to note that there seems to be general inconsistencies, and the Gemara tomorrow, we'll do tomorrow, well, is going to try to iron out those inconsistencies. Let's quickly review. Let's recap our daf. We started off by talking a little more koi talk, when you shech the koi on Yontav. So you should, going back to yesterday's daf, you shouldn't. If you did, you shouldn't cover the blood. And yesterday we gave more than a couple, but we landed on a couple of explanations of why you're not allowed to cover the blood of the koi on Yontav. Good. Then, we continued that discussion today where I shechted a whole bunch of animals in one location, behema chayva of oaf, all the bloods are together. So if I could just take one shovel full of dirt and cover it on Yontif, that's great. Because the chaya for sure requires kisur adam. The tzipor for sure requires kisur adam. The behema doesn't. But if I do one shovel full, so there was no extraneous dirt that was being moved. However, once it requires more than one shovel full, then that you're not allowed to do. Because then the moving of the dirt may be done shelo letzarech, that you're not allowed to do. What if I shechted a bird before Yontif? What if I shechted a chai before Yontif and I delayed in covering the blood? May I cover it on Yontif? The answer is no, right? That's unequivocal. In other words, you missed your opportunity. What about Simchas Yontif? By virtue of the fact that you didn't cover the blood, that's not a monea. That doesn't hold back Simchas Yontif. You're still allowed to eat the chai. You're allowed to eat the bird. But the chachamim were not matir kisui adam on Yontif for something that was shechted prior to Yontif. Good. What about dough? Where you made the dough before Yontif, you weren't mafresh the challah before Yontif. Can I be mafresh the challah on Yontif itself? So there, the Amoraim debate and deliberate that issue, and that ended our first topic of today. Then we got to the Mishnah on Tesamet Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us that the movement of a ladder from one birdhouse to another birdhouse in order to get the birds on Yontif. So a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai takes a more stringent position. Beis Hillel takes a more lenient position in terms of moving the ladder. Now, the first discussion that we had today on the Amud Aleph was, is there a distinction where the ladder is in public view or the ladder is in private view? So if the ladder is in public view, divrei halacha according to everyone, it's usur. If the ladder is in private, so it may be that it's okay because Maaser Sinai is only only for the public view, but not for private. But the Gemara points out that goes against Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Yehuda Merav says it a number of times throughout Shas, that any time the rabbi is prohibited in Maaser Sinai, it's not just prohibited in public, it's also prohibited in the private sector as well. So so what you have to do is you got to balance that statement to Rav Yehuda Merav and the various explanations that Rav Hanan gave in our Mishnah. That was what the Gemara did on the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, so we introduced ourselves to a Braisa. The Braisa is certainly not in sync with our Mishnah. The Gemara points that out right away. And then after going through the Braisa, where? In the Braisa, the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel says that if it's a Sulam, if it's a Sulam Shel Shovach, so that you're allowed to move. Everyone agrees you're allowed to move that from one birdhouse to another. The only debate is between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is once you got your bird, can you take it and now bring it back to the shed? That's the only machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Clearly not in agreement with our Mishnah. And then the Braisa went on to present the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe Dosa, a second version of Rebbe Dosa, and then after that, two versions of the story of Bnei Rebbe Chiya, who went out to visit Jewish communities out of town. The question was moving ladders on Yontif. Two different versions, exactly what the question was. In both versions, the boys offered their explanation of what they thought the correct halacha is. In both versions, Rebbe Chiya said to his sons, go back and admit you made a mistake and go back and correct the psak. In both versions, Rebbe Chiya said the halacha is that it would be asr. Of course, it just kind of depends on which version you go with in terms of what did Rebbe Chiya asr.